Hey everyone, thank you for listening to the Focus Point Podcast. I'm really glad you decided to give us a listen. I hope that the words that you hear will encourage you and bless you. I encourage you also to share this with your family and your friends. If you need more information, you can head over to thepointoffocus.com where you'll find other podcast episodes, blog posts, videos, and just some more general information about our ministry. Thank you again for listening. I hope you enjoy the episode. Well, I'm excited to dive into this new series. If you have a copy of the Bible, open it up to Exodus 1. It can be either paper or electronic. Just get one open, Exodus 1. We're also going to backtrack a little bit into Genesis 50, just to kind of piece together the entire picture of the story of what's happening here. But we're, as I said, we're diving into a new series in the book of Exodus. I'm excited to do this, and this is just a part of our year-long series that we've been in, where we're going through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy and Joshua, and we are just following this journey to the promised land. And I'm, like I've said, I'm excited to continue. I keep saying it, but I'm excited to continue on with this series. And as we've done with the last couple series, we're going to have a theme or a big idea for this series in the book of Exodus. But I wanted to go back and look at the last two big ideas, the last two themes that we had for our series. So we had a series in the book of Genesis, right? But within that series in Genesis, we had two separate series, one called Look to the Stars, and that was in the life of Abraham. And then we had Dreams, where we looked at the life of Joseph. And those two series had a theme. And so the Abraham series, Look to the Stars, the theme was, God always keeps his promises, but we must remain faithful to him, even when the future isn't clear. And then the series in Joseph called Dreams, it was faithfulness to God's dreams or God's plans will be rewarded. So if you read it all together, we kind of piece it together, and this is what the entirety of it says. God always keeps his promises, but we must remain faithful to him even when the future isn't clear, because faithfulness to God's dreams will be rewarded, or faithfulness to God's plans will be rewarded. And so we're diving into this new series in the book of Exodus. And so we're going to find that the entire theme is the same. We will do another kind of mini series within this Exodus series, but we're not going to change the theme. So the big idea that we've got going on for this one is continued faithfulness. Continued faith or continued faithfulness, however you want to say it. It may go interchangeably for me, but that's what it is. Because as we're going to kind of dive in here, some things are going to change. For now, as we're going to see as we do our reading today, the nation of Israel, as it's now going to be known, and Moses. So continued faithfulness. It's going to be exciting. I'm excited to dive into this. But where have we been? And we're going to dive into that in just a little bit too. But let's start by reading Genesis 50, 22 to 26, and we'll kind of set the stage there, and then we'll dive into Exodus 1. But it says, so Joseph and his brothers and their families continued to live in Egypt. Joseph lived to the age of 110. He lived to see three generations of descendants of his son Ephraim, and he lived to see the birth of the children of Manasseh, and who he claimed as his own. Then he says, soon I will die, Joseph told his brothers, but God will surely come to help you and lead you out of this land of Egypt. And it's important that we went back to kind of track this, because that's an important statement that Joseph says. And then he says, he will bring you back to the land solemnly promised to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So he says, back to the land, which means the land they were in, they're going to go back to as the promised land. And it's kind of easy to miss that if you kind of, when you think they're going somewhere, right? I think they're continuing to like travel to a different land, but in reality, they're just going back to where they came from. Then Joseph made his sons of Israel swear an oath, and he said, when God comes to help you and lead you back, you must take my bones with you. So Joseph died at the age of 110, and the Egyptians embalmed him, and his body was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Now, as we dive into this, before we go any farther, it's important to note here that Joseph wasn't buried. He was only, just his body was just kept in a coffin for some 400 years, right? Just kept in a coffin. He wasn't buried. Now, it's important to realize that. Now, time to sum up some things as we've kind of looked at the story of Joseph. And as we've said before, Joseph, if he wasn't sold into slavery, he wouldn't have been in Egypt, where God wanted him, as a part of God's plan. If Joseph wasn't in Egypt, he wouldn't have been in Potiphar. If he wasn't with Potiphar, he wouldn't have been falsely accused. He wouldn't have been thrown into jail. If he wasn't thrown in jail, he wouldn't have met the butler and the baker and all of that stuff. If he wasn't there, then, you know, they wouldn't have known that he could interpret dreams. So when Pharaoh had a dream, he wouldn't have known all of that stuff. And if he wouldn't have interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, he wouldn't have been second in command in Egypt. And if Joseph never was in that position, he wouldn't have known about the famine. And so if Joseph was back with his family, they all would have died in Canaan, right? They all would have died. And if they all would have died, the Messiah wouldn't have come forth. If Jesus never came, then all of our sins, we would be without hope. That's the ramifications of Joseph actually being, if he wasn't there and no one knew about the famine, not only would like the entire world probably have been wiped out, but the very line that God promised that the Messiah would come from. Remember, God promised Abraham that one of his descendants would bless the entire earth. And if Jesus had never came, if that whole line had been wiped out, Jesus would have never came, and we would all have been dead in our sins without hope at all. Because something has to die to pay for sin. Romans 3:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. Right? 6:23. The wages of sin is death. And that has to be paid. So God's had a plan all along. Joseph was right where God wanted him. And that's what we've talked about in the last series. That's what we've kind of talked, what we've been talking about, is God has a plan. Are we going to go with God's plan? Are we going to be faithful and obedient and trust God even when we don't understand? Are we going to continue that way? Are we going to take steps with God through whatever ups and downs it goes, what we go through? Or are we going to try to go our own way like Abraham tried and try to establish God's promise that way? And it turned out to be a mess for old Abraham, didn't it? And so what we see here, though, is faith. Faith. It was trusted to God's people. This was faith because it knew it was faith because it knew where God's people belonged. There was faith because it looked to the future. There was faith because it proclaimed God's faithfulness. And so that is what we see here. This was faith. Joseph told them, hey, take my bones with you when you go. When God's promise comes through, when he comes back for you, when he comes to rescue you from this place, take me with you. So that's what it means. That's why all of this stuff is about faith. And it's really becoming evident now. Like, it's been that way. Like, Abraham required faith. Jacob and Esau had a little bit of faith, and Joseph definitely had to deal with faith. So we're kind of looking at this series, and it's kind of been about faith, which is why the theme for this Exodus series is continued faith, continued faithfulness. Because, let's be honest, not everything that we think is going to be good turns out to continue to be good. right? Like I've told before, I prayed. I was in a job that really kind of messed with me. It messed with my schedule. It just was kind of one of those things, and I couldn't volunteer at church, or sometimes I couldn't even really attend church. And it's a big deal, because church really is a place where you're supposed to go get recharged. It's supposed to be your kind of time with God. And when you can't get that, it's really, really difficult. And so I struggled with that for a little bit, to the point where I prayed, like, God, give me something else. Give me a job that takes me off the weekends, where it's Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, like, it just something, like, just help me, right? And so I prayed that, and I don't know how long it took, but I was upset about something that happened at work, and someone overheard me. She was a newer volunteer, and she said, hey, you know what? I got something for you. Give me your email, this, that, and everything else. And within, like, the next month, I had a job that was 8 to 5, and Monday through Friday. And interesting thing about this particular person, she wasn't with the company very much longer. Talk about God's plans. Talk about God, like, working it out. But also came with that, though. So you consider that to be a promised land, right? Just like Egypt here for the nation of Israel, now for Joseph and his family, and now they've kind of multiplied, as we're going to see when we read Exodus 1. Now they're in this nation of Israel, and Egypt is their promised land, because they would have died otherwise. And so now we see this. And so I was kind of in a promised land. But then it kind of started to feel different. So let's read Exodus 1 to see what I mean. So we're going to start in verse 4. Because verse 1 through 3 is just talking... Verse 1 through 4... Sorry, we're starting verse 6. Verse 1 through 5 is just talking about all the descendants that are there. Reuben and Simon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Zebulun and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. In all, Jacob had 70 descendants in Egypt, including Joseph, who was already there. So now we're talking like they had some time, okay? So verse 6 is where the story really picks up. In time, Exodus 1 verse 6. In time, Joseph and all his brothers died, ending that entire generation. But their descendants, the Israelites, so now we're referring to them as the Israelites, now they have, it's more like a nation, had many children and grandchildren. In fact, they multiplied so greatly, they became extremely powerful and filled the land. Eventually, a new king came into power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. He said to his people, "Look, these people of Israel now outnumber us and are stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. If we don't, and if war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us, and they will escape from the country." So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build cities, but the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and the more alarmed the Egyptians became. So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. They made their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and made bricks and do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless in all their demands. Then Pharaoh, king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives: when you help a Hebrew woman as they are giving birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. But the midwives feared God, and they refused to obey the king's order, and they allowed the boys to live. Soon the king of Egypt called for the midwives. "Why have you done this?" he demanded. "Why have you allowed the boys to live? The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women," the midwives replied. "They are more vigorous, and they have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time." So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all people. Throw every Hebrew boy in the Nile River, but let the girls live. Okay. There's a lot there. We read the entire chapter, but there's a lot there. Now, as the title of the episode goes, it kind of feels like it was a promised land. Now it's a prison. And maybe you felt that way. Maybe you felt like that. Like I felt as years went on in that job, it just started kind of feeling like a dead end. There was no way up, no way around. As a matter of fact, I had contemplated before I was unceremoniously and wrongfully let go, I had pondered the idea of looking for something else just because the money wasn't coming. Like there was no raise, there was none of this stuff, right? And so I struggled with that, and it became what I prayed for, what I wanted, what I asked for became a prison, if you will. Kind of like what happened in Egypt with the Israelites. What once was their promised land was now a prison because this new Pharaoh, this new king, didn't care. Because he was afraid, really. And maybe that's happened to you too. Maybe this job that you once had, and some of that happened in this job that I had, like leadership change and some of this stuff, and it just became a mess. And maybe you've been there. Maybe you've experienced something. Maybe you've prayed for a job. Maybe you've tried a job. Maybe it was a dream, a goal, a promised land, if you will, right, as we've been talking about this year. And maybe you were so excited to be there, and then all of a sudden it just didn't work out the way you thought it would. It slowly started to change just because not anything you did. Like, the Israelites didn't do anything. The Israelites were just there. But they were becoming numerous. They were fulfilling God's promise. God said that Abraham would have many descendants that would outnumber the stars in the sky and the sand in the seashore. That's all. God was just keeping his word. God was just keeping his promise to Abraham. And Pharaoh was afraid. Pharaoh was scared that during an uprising that these people would take over. So, a little bit of cultural stuff. Let's not read too much into this. And remember, this is a different time with different people. Also, culturally, women were looked at different. And what I'm about to say kind of comes to light a little bit. Pharaoh was distinctly trying to end the Israelite people by killing off the male children. Eventually, by the way, the old circle of life, as the Lion King movie says, eventually they can't reproduce, right? Without men and women, they could not reproduce, and therefore eventually Israel would be eradicated. Also, without men, Israel would be significantly weaker because it was men that typically did battle. And I know that's ruffles feathers right there, okay? Just, that was true. Men were in battle. But I know nowadays, like I said, times are different. We have fighting women and men. But men typically did the battles back then. So, thinking two different ways, I would assume that Pharaoh would wipe out Israel by just killing off the men, and they wouldn't be able to fight over time. So then they would be even weaker as the women of the Israel slowly started to die off. But also doing this plan would have also eradicated Israel, which would have also taken away our victor. The person that was supposed to bless the entire earth, the one that was supposed to save us from our sins and save the whole world, that person, Jesus, this event would have totally killed all of that off. Not only would it have just killed Israel, it would have killed all of our hope, as we've already talked about in reading the end of what Joseph did and why Joseph was where he was at and all of this. And the Messiah has to come from this family line. And if it dies off, there's no Messiah. And if there's no Messiah, then that presents a really big problem for us, doesn't it? So God's plan was bigger than even Pharaoh knew about. God's plan was to keep his promise, as we've already seen him do over and over again. So this point of time, Israel wasn't going to be wiped out. And as we continue to see, we're going to see God's plan for that as we continue on in this series in the book of Exodus. And I'm excited to continue on in this series. And I hope that we can see why we need to have continued faith as we journey along with God. As we keep going through our lives and we see the ups and downs that have happened in the past and how God has come through for us in the past, we can see how he'll come through for us in the future. And I think that's really, really important. As a matter of fact, as we go through this series, we're going to reference a point in Israel's time where they looked back at what God had done. And the key idea from that is just because we see what God's done in the past doesn't mean he's going to do it that same way again. So what we see here is that God always keeps his promises, but we must remain faithful to him even when the future isn't clear. And we see that in Joseph's life. We talked about it a little earlier in this episode, as every step of the way, Joseph just remained faithful. Joseph, you know, made the best of where he was at. He didn't sit down and get bummed. Did he get upset? Did he get a little bummed? Did he feel a certain way about some things? Yes, of course. I would imagine that he did. He was human. He didn't do anything wrong and he landed himself in jail. He didn't do anything wrong and he was sold into slavery. So he just didn't understand all of that stuff, but he remained faithful to God. And as we've read a couple different times in Joseph's story, the Lord helped him succeed. And so by faith, Joseph succeeded and he stayed with God even when the future wasn't clear, because faithfulness to God's dreams will be rewarded. Faithfulness to God's plans, if you want to say it that way, will be rewarded. And so Joseph knew that and Joseph stayed in that. And that's what we can learn from Joseph. But looking at this first little bit of the book of Exodus, Exodus 1 here, we can see also too that sometimes God answers our prayers, right? We get what we want and all of that. And then like it kind of turns a different way. Like Israel was brought to Egypt to be saved from the famine. They were invited by Pharaoh to stay in the land, and they had prosperity and goodness and all of that in the land of Egypt. But then it kind of turned into a prison. And maybe you've experienced that with a dream that you thought was supposed to be this thing. And earlier I shared a little bit about that, how I got this job that I knew was from God, that was a blatant answer to God's prayer. I mean, to my prayer to God, sorry. And then it just kind of went downhill and just turned into something that just was awful. And maybe you've been there, and Israel is definitely there now. But I want to look back as we close up this episode. I want to look back real quick at the promise that we see. Because remember, God always keeps his promises. And in Joseph's dying breath, he told his brothers that, he told his brothers these words, okay? Genesis 50, 24, soon I will die, but God will surely come to help you and lead you out of this land of Egypt. He will bring you back to the land he solemnly promised to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So now we've got this promise. And you see, the thing is that Israel living in Egypt is God fulfilling his promise. This promise of that covenant that given all the way back, we talked about it all the way back at the beginning of the Look to the Stars series, when we looked at Abraham's life. God's covenant with Abraham, and the final piece of that covenant is that the entire earth would be blessed through his descendants. And at this moment in their journey, that promise is still active. That promise is still not been fulfilled yet. And so as we journey through this, we got to remember that they're living in an everlasting promise from God. And so I can't wait to, I've said it already, I can't wait to unfold this story a little bit more. And as we kind of continue to follow this thread, and I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed kind of doing this as we get this main kind of theme that we're looking at, and then you read the Bible and you see all of these components that go right along with it. And so next week, we're going to continue on in this series. We're going to see what God has in store for keeping now this promise within a promise, right? First of all, the promise, the entire earth will be blessed through his descendants and given them this land that he had promised, right? So that's a promise that's still ongoing. But this other promise that he would get them out of Egypt. So I'm excited to continue talking about that. And we're going to see some different things as we journey through Moses's life. And as we see some different things that he kind of came face to face with that I know we see come up in our lives. So I'm excited to continue on with that. I hope you'll continue on the journey with us. If you've missed any of the episodes, thepointoffocus.com has all of these episodes from the Journey to the Promised Land series. As we've already finished Genesis, so all of that stuff is there. You can kind of catch up if you want. But until then, I hope you've been blessed by these words and encouraged. And we will see you next week.